Hello, how are we? Robert and Jake back here for episode 2.
Hello.
Thank you everyone for listening. Honestly, it means the world.
Thanks so much. The reaction is so good.
Yeah, we're delighted. We're so happy we could touch so many souls. We're really happy with the reaction. And again, thank you.
Thanks again.
Because it's nice to know that we're able to help people in the same predicament we were in. And the feedback was great. So for our second episode, we are going to speak about my Uncle Mikey's past. He's a great person, so funny, we love being around him. And we have a couple of induction stories before he comes on as well. Also, we have an exciting announcement. We've came up with a name, and it's...
Do you want some? It's lovely.
So thank you to the wonderful Lahine in FlyFit, the gym where I work in Cork City.
Fits perfect.
She was like, it has to have Jawansum, because me and Jake are both known for whatever we're eating, whatever's in hand, we're like, it's lovely, Jawansum.
Yeah.
I'd say it's just the north side bait into us.
Literally.
If you up in the north side where we live, like if you're a tradesman, electrician, whatever, you go into any house and it's like, do you want a dinner? Do you want a breakfast? Do you want a cup of tea?
Feed them to that, like.
<It's lovely. laughs> So we were delighted for that. And we are going to give an induction story to Mikey. So when we were younger, Mikey was the uncle to be with. Always so
cool fun. One, like.
Yeah, literally, he pure, like.
He still is, by the way.
Yeah, he pure, if he caught you smoking a fag, he'd say nothing. Do you know what I mean? And do you know, everyone needs an uncle like that. So, picture it. One day now, it was pitch black, freezing cold, dark roads on the back gant down to Blarney, like, do you know, it's a kind of away from my house a bit. Driving down the road anyway, and Michael's a painter and decorator, so he's pricing a job. So Mikey went into this house and priced the job, but the pricing took about 1 or 2 hours. So I fell asleep, whatever, and Michael comes back into the van after the 1 or 2 hours, and he like woke me up gently, like, rah, rah. Then I wake up and all I see is achoo! A big huge.
Oh my god!
I mean, you could actually see the mucus in the air.
Good.
And that was the first time that I've ever smelled someone sneeze. Oh my god! It is brutal. You just don't want to smell it. And
my funny story about Mikey was just Mikey's son Adam, my cousin. We went out to work with him one day, but like when you go working with Mikey now, it's just probably the funniest thing ever because you get a laugh off him.
Yeah.
But you get angry very quick, but in a funny way. So we were coming back through traffic, like, so it was just me and Adam. So Mikey used to have a van. Adam was sitting in the front, like, sitting in the back. But like me and Adam would look at each other now and start laughing on the sly. And you know when you're not allowed to laugh, you laugh even more,
like school.
So we were sitting in the traffic lights, and as me and Adam again being giddy, so the harder we were laughing, the anger Mikey was getting, right? So Adam looked back at me like, and I looked back at Adam, and he caught me and Adam laughing. So he got the handbrake with two hands out, not just one, two hands, and lifted it up. And harder we laughed, the anger he got. So it was just we couldn't get it down for like 10 minutes inside the traffic.
Oh, see, and that was literally in the middle of town.
Middle of town, there was a big line behind us. It was the funniest thing ever.
Up on the Western Road.
The more frustrated we were getting, though, we couldn't get it down, like.
Oh, it's like the more you were laughing, the more Mikey would snap.
Snap!
If you just knew Mikey, I could literally be the sweat.
I know! So funny.
So that takes us to Mikey. We're going to introduce Mikey now. We leave him take the mic and give a bit of background on himself.
So, hi guys, how y'all doing? That's just a great kind of introduction there from Robert and Jake. I suppose most people listening currently at the moment probably think I'm some kind of psychotic, deranged lunatic, like, but
the nicest, literally.
In a nice way. First of all, I'd just like to thank the two lads for having me on the podcast. It's a privilege, genuinely.
No problem, thanks.
I'd just like to commend the two lads as well for their first episode and being, you know, such a great success. And great credit due to the lads as well. As they mentioned at the start, if this giving positive feedback to all the listeners out there, it's for a good cause. So happy
definitely, days. Nice one.
Well done on that, lads.
Thanks,
well
Mike.
Cheers. So Mikey has a funny story for us to tell. It's about when he was back in. Was this when you lived in England with the family years ago, or was this actually here?
Which one?
The Cat Club.
No, that was actually I would have been in like third class in okay. Not mine, you know.
So, on the man.
Yeah. So look, the reason I'm here, lads, just to try to bring you a little bit of humour. So hope the stories are a little bit amusing for you guys.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
If they're not, go jump in the fucking lake. I don't give a shit. So
bring your weight with you.
Yeah. If you wrote, if you stole it.
Zero dumbbells. So yeah, the Jenny and the Cat Club is a kind of an amusing story from when I was in third class. I was like in the B class in the North Monastery, who had like really intelligent students going there. So teacher gave me a book to kind of bring home to kind of test me on reading it. So I actually found the book a little bit kind of interesting, and you know, look, there was like 60 pages on it. I'll always remember it was called Jenny and the Cat Club, so I actually read it overnight. But intrigued by the book, so when I went back into class the following day, I kind of gave it to my teacher and said, and the teacher said, did you read like two or three pages? I said, no, I read the book, like,
yeah.
No biggie, like, you know.
Yeah.
Long and the short of it, I was put into the A class from the B class. That's basically when my whole life turned for the worse. normally you actually kind of get privileged on your kind of success in life. To me, it was just open for a world of abuse.
Oh,
reason being,
okay,
is because hell. The students in there, they were almost like robotic. They were so intelligent.
Robotic.
That's not like us. We're good with our hands, let's just say.
Yeah, that's what it is.
So, basically, my kind of grades went to in around the area between of 0 and 5%. So I was kind of known as the dyslexic person of the class.
Dyslexic.
Yeah, just kind of.
Oh, you're so funny.
Chasing my ambition since Jenny in the Cat Club. So
put it out there.
Wherever you are, Jenny. I hope some fucking dog catches you.
And from that, Mikey actually met his wife really young. They were literally the last 34 years.
Correct.
So from that moment on, you probably met Joy like the week later.
Probably.
Yeah, pretty much.
Magazine and chocolates.
All right, yeah, okay. So let me, like, I'm kind of a fella as well. Anytime I kind of see something, I want it, you know?
Yeah.
So seeing Joy at a kind of very kind of young age, like,
sweet
so.
Oh,
woo! Yeah. I'm a go-getter, so I went and kind of pretty much got her, but I do remember this occasion. Joy actually was getting her hair done in my house in Harbourview Road. My sister's a
hairdresser. On your house? Oh, really?
So, like, it was kind of untold for somebody to call to the house if you're going up with somebody. So the idea of Joy actually being in the house was like, wow, this shit is crazy. Like, you know? And I always remember there was a particular song out at the time. It was called Always from Atlantic Stair, and Joy loved the song. So I kind of walking past the table and I spot a magazine on the table. And lo and behold, what was on the words of the front of it was the song Always.
I was like, Joy's
tune. I know, yeah.
I'm going to have a piece of that. So I kind of swiftly managed to get the page and rip it out, put it into my pocket. And I met Joy that evening when she'd all her hair done or whatever, and I was like, I got a bit of a surprise there for you, like. And she was like, yeah. Like, remember that song that you liked there? I go, Always There. So I kind of took it on my pocket, and she looked at me and said, a dickhead, I got that magazine into your house.
No way.
It was kind of a,
she's probably reading it, getting her hair done, like.
You
I know, you can.
One of those moments when the grung would actually open up and swallow you, you know? But
yeah.
You literally got
face go hot now.
Oh yeah, and she always, her mother used to have a kind of a sweet stall as well in
oh,
the
yeah,
park
that.
And the lee backs
yeah.
And stuff. So like, I'm going back in like 1986, like, I mean, to even have pocket money for chocolate was a big thing then, like, nobody
yeah.
had nothing.
Yeah.
I'd be meeting Joy to go on a jag, as you'd call it. She'd have like super cans of Coke and
everything, like, yeah.
Mars bars and caramels.
All the bits,
all the bits, yeah.
So, I'm standing next to her. My belly's hopping off my backbone because I'm so hungry. She, want a piece of that? Like, nah, I'm good.
Starving secretly.
Fucking water walking, running down the side of me chin, looking at her. And I just might add as well, she actually didn't ask me a second time that I want a bit. So, you can actually fucking keep your chocolate, Joy.
Oh, I'm getting that is so funny. So it takes her into a bit of an older story when you and your brother, or was it a stag, the moped in Ibiza?
All right, yeah. So,
can't wait to hear this one.
So this is Ibiza Classic 99. You know, it was like 17 of us went on holidays, you know, and we all decided to hire up mopeds over there. But me being a little bit kind of throttle happy.
Yeah. Travel happy.
Basically fucking crashed the moped off the side of a step and decided to take a big chunk out of my toe.
Jesus. So, oh my God.
No, the big one.
In the heat and everything.
pretty painful to say the least. So with that, a policeman comes around the corner on his bike, like, you know, and he's like, okay guys, pull in.
Yeah.
So like not taking so much notice of it because we didn't really do much out of the way. He hadn't seen me crashing the bike or anything, like, but the bike was a bit fucked up. Long and the short of it, he phones in for like backup. So
backup.
Along comes a paddy wagon and we're like,
a Spanish paddy wagon.
What the fuck is he going with this? Like, it's getting a bit out of hand. So a lot of the guys we were with decided to scatter, and there was like four of us kept there, me and my two brothers, John Paul and Christy, and two of my mates as well, Stephen and Eddie Horrigan. Big shout out to the lads. Eddie's actually in Thailand and Stephen's in America, ironically enough. Just
unreal.
In the possibility that you guys might listen to this, how are you doing? So the policeman who actually was riding the bike had like a big jacket on him, so when he got us to the police station, we were like, the fuck, like, what's going on, like, it's getting a bit out of hand. So all of a sudden he started kind of taking off his big jacket, like, you know. Dude was like fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger. Like, come on, he goes, you put your hand behind your back.
Oh. Fucking hell, imagine the fright.
I'd actually shit, we'll be running away, like.
No, I get some fright now as well.
We're like, why? Put your hand behind your back, I said. So we politely had to put our hands behind our back and stand for a fucking full off crack into the face off this guy.
Fucking hell, Mickey.
Yeah, so like, Christy was losing the plot then because he's a bit psychotic.
Yeah.
And they're looking at him with his anger face. And
Christy is actually Mikey's twin brother.
Our other uncle.
We have, what is it, you four sisters and five
brothers.
Five brothers.
Yeah, five boys and four girls.
Nine of them.
Yes, they're all here, though. Just to finish off on that story then, like, he kind of went away and he came back in and he got out his baton. So I was like, okay, this
Jesus
is actually getting a bit out of hand.
Yeah,
so he
kind of
attacked us with the baton and got a few slaps off that.
Imagine just trying to dodge it and everything like this.
Oh, you're not
allowed to keep
your hand
by
your back.
Politely as well.
Yeah. So after this then, he kind of came in and he kind of called me aside on my own and he was like, yeah, you think you're a funny driver, mom, yeah? You come with me. This stage now, like, the film Midnight Express is coming into my mind. That's where this fucking guy basically tortured and fucking killed in this fucking true movie.
That is terrifying though.
Definitely.
So he brought me to the next room where shit was going to get out of hand, like.
Yeah.
And he said, you saw, and I said, listen, this is getting a bit fucking out of hand.
Bit much
he
like.
Says, excuse me? What you say? I said, this is getting a bit out of hand. He goes, what way you speak? Where you from? I was like, what? He's like, where you from? I was like, Ireland. Oh, senor, I think you're English.
Oh my god!
Are they that bad over there? Like, just
absolutely
hate the English. So, next year, man comes in with my hands in the air, like, ole!
Oh my god!
Like, the rest of the lads were looking at me like, we're actually being resurrected. The motive of the whole thing
is that they
actually do hate the English over there.
Literally.
That's it, though.
They thought we were English. Bring us and beat the shit out of us.
Yeah. Happened to us in Amsterdam as well. He was like, you English Irish, and we were like, we're Irish. He was like, that's better. I was like, fucking hell.
Oh my god. Seeing as we're in your later in life kind of area, we can bring our friend Billy Blacksballs into it, our family friend for years.
Oh, yeah,
we meet Billy.
Oh, Billy's a class act. Like, so, I mean, if somebody basically had a good manager, you could actually put a secret video on Billy and become a millionaire out of it.
Definitely,
Bill Hammer, Patrick's dog.
Bilam, yeah.
So he was a neighbour of ours in Harbourview Road, actually became a very close kind of family friend. There's a lot of us in the family, so he became kind of a friend to all of us kind of individually, like, you know, but...
he's so nice.
He started us off. We've got a job down in Dingle in the fish factory in, like, 1987, so long ago, like... So Billy was basically, like, our alarm clock that would get us up in the mornings, you know? But he had it actually... didn't have a tooth in his head.
Yeah.
Completely gumsy. It's from Grimsby, fishing village in England. But there was one particular night, some guy's toothbrush actually went missing inside the hostel where we were staying. So this guy kicks in Billy's door at like 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, I know, like, Billy Dick.
I've been told that you're after stealing my toothbrush. Billy just kind of looked at him, opened his mouth, and just showed him a pair of fucking gums.
Oh my god! The thing got completely taken.
Toothbrush, silly bastard. he was kind of on the receiving end of a few pranks, like.
But Mikey, he could eat anything. Remember, like, I was up my nan's, like,
jaws of steel.
Bit true apple, he ate an apple in front of me and Lydia before. We were like, what the fuck? How'd you do that?
You know, he actually had trouble with a pain in his teeth. So he went to the dentist. That's actually a true story. So yeah. It was like £30 to get out two of the teeth that were actually...
What age was he at this point? Like
years ago,
mid-20s, you know?
Mid-20s.
Fuck, yeah.
So he had like £30 to get two of them out. So then he asked the dentist, how much is it to get them all out? And he said, 40. So he said, like, take them all out, you know.
Imagine just going with it, like.
He's like, old bargain.
Yeah, I know, that's what it is, you take them all out.
You get them all for 40.
Yeah, go for it, like.
He actually became an alcoholic as well over it, because he was fucking drunk in his fucking bare tooth with fucking whiskey for about 10 years prior to that.
Oh, but that's what comes out of the pain, though, isn't it?
That's where Billy knew he fucked up.
Yeah.
So we had a couple of pints in there. On one occasion, we ended up going up to my sister's house, Teresa's, and we're above there, and I poured a drink for Billy, which consisted of vodka, whiskey, Malibu, Pernod.
Oh my god.
Stop, Mikey.
I probably put in about 20 millilitres of orange juice just to break it.
just a bit of a mixer.
Millilitres.
I was like, hey, Bill, that's a fucking pretty okay one for you. Not too much in it, like, you know, so... he done it once, look, basically. So I've never actually seen somebody's facial expression to change into a fucking monster so quickly.
Especially because there's no teeth with the gum. So
he eventually crashed out. Well, if you heard the crash story, he fell unconscious.
Something anyway.
It means the same thing.
Yeah.
So just like 20 past 2 in the morning, so I got a bit bored. So I just got a black marker and a scissors.
Scissors. I wrote the black marker out, it's the scissors.
He's got a bit bored, like.
Yeah, so took his sideburns, took his eyebrows.
Oh, fuck it,
took his fringe. drew a pair of glasses on him and a dick on his forehead.
Everything.
They left the building, like.
They're rootless and they're taking the fringe.
Yeah.
But look, this is the kind of start of it, because it gets better, because, like, on the way home, like, a couple of hours, like, the following day, we're going to cross by Central and Baker's Road because Jibes after collecting us, and I said, Billy, I forgot to get the lotto numbers in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Will you go in and get them? Not realising that he had no
oh my god.
No sideburns, no moustache, a fucking pair of glasses, and a dick in his forehead.
Oh, get out.
So he came back up, he sat into the car, and he was like, Thomas, she's got some fucking cheek in there. I was like, what's wrong with you? She's like looking at me as if I've got two fucking heads.
Imagine though.
He still wasn't aware of it, you know, but...
oh my god, that's brilliant.
Yeah, he kind of copped on maybe an hour later, wasn't too pleased. But look, in hindsight, his friends grew back a year and a half later.
A year and a half.
Oh my god. He liked the cropped look. Like, yeah. You know. What about the time when he got charged for directions and he had no money?
What was that one?
So I was like 18, and I was doing like this course in Dublin. It was like a youth art leadership course, like to do my drawing skills. I used to do drawing and stuff when I was younger.
Unbelievable.
So we were, I was actually staying up there, but I was basically homesick, and I said to my mum, I said, I'm not going up there on my own. So basically, Billy, being the good man that he is, decided that he would come up with me.
That's nice of him, wasn't it?
Fair play, like.
And he's lovely.
He actually is, isn't he?
Like, to be fair, you know. But I was staying in a certain B&B, and I forgot to tell Billy that he actually had to leave the premises at 9 o'clock in the morning till I was finished the college.
Stop!
Basically, Billy was roaming the streets of Dublin like for like 40 hours a week.
Like a homeless, man?
Literally.
Literally.
So he actually, he was snoring up there as well, to be quite honest.
Oh, Mikey!
Actually, he actually had to take shelter inside in the bus station, and they actually zoned in him in on the CCTV. And he got quizzed because they thought he was actually a fucking terrorist. Okay. If you actually did look at him and see a fucking backpack on his back, you'd say like he's definitely something.
Bus station as well though.
And yeah, so he was like accused of being a terrorist because he was wrapped around a red trying to get fucking heat into his body.
Poor man.
Yeah, he was coming home, didn't he? He got lost, he couldn't find a B&B, and so he stopped and asked this guy, and your man charged him for directions.
No way.
He was like, "Do you know what God this place is, mate? Man, if you're made in 4 years there, no, he'll tell ya." Oh
my God. Charge for directions.
If you're 4 years there, no, he'll tell ya.
Billy was a class act. Shout out to Billy. He's on
big
Grimsby.
Shout out to William.
Yeah, he's gone back to England.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he was very good to our uncle John Driscoll as well. It was not a particularly funny story that I just have to tell you. It was like so hot there one day that John was, Billy were going for a pint, but they were going from the Holly Hill Inn down to the Briarview, like Banjo was called.
Yeah.
So there's
yeah.
like a boring down the lane. Pub is closed, no, it's a Chinese, like, but Billy was bringing John Driscoll down in the wheelchair, and it was so hot that the two handles off the wheelchair actually came off in Billy's hands because of
oh my God, fucking hell.
So, John Driscoll was like somebody in a fucking RDE 350 power valve going down the fucking hill in the wheelchair. And he had to fucking chase him and kind of...
John Driscoll is blind as well, by the way.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention.
Yeah. The poor man. He's like a great uncle that passed away, yeah. like years ago.
My nan's brother.
He actually didn't know he was doing like 25 miles an hour, so...
25!
He was actually okay, so... There was no kind of like intentional abuse.
No!
It was a semi-accident.
The less he knew, the better.
Yeah. Yeah. So John was so funny as well. Like, so like,
yeah.
The stories about him is so funny.
He caught me there one day and he said, "That fucking Christopher Crowley." I said, "Yeah." He said, "Oh, first he said to me, who's that?" I said, "That's me, John, Christy."
Yeah.
Oh, he says, "That's you, Christy." I says, "Yeah. Come here, I want you. I want to tell you something." I was like, "What?" I'm fucking onto your mother to trying to get that fucking Michael Crowley out of this house for the last 6 months.
On about you then? Oh.
I said, pretend I was Christy. Then I goes, "John, that's actually me, Mikey." "Oh, do you hear about the other fella, Christy?" Like a fucking weasel.
Speaking of
Christy.
That is so funny. Go on.
Yeah, so we used to have, like, yeah, I came home from work another day and John Driscoll used to be in the wheelchair on outside of the fire. So I kind of gave a kind of a glance to my left and actually kind of nearly fell off the chair because he basically looked like Mr. Ed, the horse, you know? He'd been smiling from ear to ear, on which the day prior to that, he didn't. What was after happening is my mum got him a new set of falsers, but
there
were actually
yeah.
like fucking two deck brushes inside of his mouth. I was like, "John, what are you laughing at?" He's like, "I'm not laughing at all." "Your fucking mother got me then."
Just setting his mouth like that, like.
Yeah.
Oh, that is so funny.
Look, he had his best years of his life up in Harbourview Road, like, you know, cared for by all of us, you know.
Yeah.
So,
definitely.
Yeah, John legend. He actually was the only guy that I knew that actually took him about six particular attempts to actually pass away. John, all of a sudden, I was like, "John is actually gone." Next, we got a phone call 10 minutes later. "He's actually back again." I was like, happy. Happy.
Mixed emotions.
I was like, "I actually got places to go, Liggs. You gotta fucking go, what?" Put him on your fucking phone there to me. "John, you gonna fucking go, what, mate?"
What story?
Oh my god, that's so funny. That is hilarious. Speaking of Christy, there when you go, what about when Christy pretended to be asleep and you went up and tried to get a tenner?
Alright, so
go on.
Christy's a fabricator, very good one at that as well, but he'd probably taken a kind of a career break at the time, so he was doing a little bit of work with me and we were like drinking down at Chevy's. So I was kind of leaving on the Sunday night, so I said to Christy, "I need you in the morning," you know, like,
yeah.
"Jump on," you know. He was like, "I'll be there, don't worry." So like, grand job. So for the morning, he goes down to collect him. I went up the stairs and kind of looked in Christy's room. "No, Christy." I was like, "Right, great enough for fucking Monday morning again, you know, down a man and all the rest, because Christy's quite a good painter as well. Yeah. When you got him, you got him, you know. So I was walking back down the stairs, and just in my eye line, I spotted his jeans. So look, me and Christy are twins, and basically what's mine is his, and what's his is mine.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
yeah, of course. Just like me and Jay.
Yeah, it's like me and Robert as well.
Minus the twins.
So at that particular time, didn't have any money for diesel, didn't have any money for lunch. There wasn't much going on positive in my life at that time. It used to be a struggling Monday morning.
So oh, stop.
God, I know him well.
Yeah, I know.
I went back and just dipped his pockets, really. 10 or 5 euro, couple of change. I was like, okay, got diesel money in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You made the right work, like.
Yeah.
Basically. So I just kind of stood up and I kind of sensed a bit of a presence around me.
Oh, you can feel it, yeah.
Like, what the fuck is going on here? So I looked in the mirror. There was your man actually hiding in the wardrobe. in the secret compartment. So I'm like with my hand in the pocket, tenner on the fiver in the other hand, looking at the reflection. He just looked at me and goes, whatever is there, take it, I'm not going in. Fair enough deal.
So yeah, so vice versa kind of thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
That is hilarious.
Yeah, so Christie's always a gem.
That is so funny.
Years ago as well. Funny enough, like till I was about 6 or 7, I used to actually sing it to sleep every single night, right? And it was like, you know, routine thing for me to do, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It was like part of my life.
Just kind of fell into it, like.
Just fell into it until we said Tuesday evening, normal night. I'm like, when I find myself in the arms of bodies, singing away to Christine,
tingling his face.
And the Wednesday night, I went up then and I was like, mother. And as Christine turned around, he said, if you fucking sing once more, I will fucking choke you to death. What do you mean? I can do it for the last 6 years. And he goes, tonight is when it fucking starts.
I was like, what the fuck?
This is fucking eligible of fucking counselling fucking sessions.
Right? That's what it is though.
You can't just fucking switch somebody off just like that. But yeah, he politely decided.
He's it off so easy anyway.
Yeah, just had my last counselling session last Tuesday.
Oh, tonight it stops.
Tonight it stops.
That is hilarious. Oh my god, what about, this takes me to a scene as we're in your later, like more current years of life. Mikey has this lovely dog, Milky. What about Milky and
Oh,
Paris?
What about Milky, yeah.
Yeah, so Milky basically came and stole my beautiful daughter Ava. So you know, she got this lovely little fluffy dog.
White.
So when he came on the scene, I was basically forgotten about. So the relationship between me and Ava kind of deteriorated.
So there's actually a bit of jealousy there. Mikey is jealous of Milky for robbing his beautiful daughter.
That's definitely.
That's an accurate assumption. And there one day, and just a funny story about him. So I rings Joy, I was like on the way home from work, and I was like, what's for the dinner? Because I'm
starving, Marvin. Like,
so she was like, yeah, oh, bodice and torn up, saw in the pot, but I'm going down to Blackpool.
My favourite.
There's nobody there. And I was, you know, it's like, whilst I love going home to my wife and kids, sometimes it's nice to have the
house to
yourself,
you
know.
And it happens really as well, doesn't it? Like,
yeah, my house is a busy spot. So I'm kind of a guy, innit? Like, when I'm having something to eat, like to have everything kind of ready.
Yeah.
I don't do the
picture. Organized.
I just fix the whole lot, sit down, and 100%. Under the bother of picking up the bodice, torn up, fresh skull, pint of milk.
Oh, yum.
Yum, it's my favorite.
Starving.
I know, it's the same.
Brought it into the front room, put it on the coffee table, like, you know, remote control. Next, just going to eat. Knock at the door. Goes out. Neighbour, you wouldn't have one or two eggs there. It was just no problem, whatever. Like, he just
gave it to him, like, yeah.
My tough on the way up to the utility room getting the eggs. timing is not exactly great. So, on the way back, I just gave her the eggs anyway. We went into the front room. To my astonishment, I just seen this motherfucking small little white furball standing on top of the fucking standing on top of the coffee table. He done the bodice, he done the fucking turn up, right?
Oh,
he actually went as far as to have a bit of skull and a fucking sup of milk. Right?
That is a lot now, like.
He's looking at me then, like, you know.
A bit of a standoff.
Bit of a stand up, and a standoff there, and I looked and I was like, oh man, you just fucked up on the So he kind of looked at me and his eyes kind of fucking widened as marble, and I think he kind of said back in dog language, yeah, I think I did. So basically, we would have to get in a gate the day before for to stop Milky from going up and down the stairs, and the little shit forgot about it.
Oh yeah.
So he ran out the hall, went to run up the stairs, and he just stopped dead, looked at the gate, and looked back at me, and he went, bollocks. Okay. With that, I was like, Becky! The most vile, disgusting thing happened next. He ran past me, and there was two lumps of shit flew out the back of him. There were like two fucking bullets over fucking M16. I was like,
oh my god, that's the fight you got, wasn't it?
Just like, that ended up with a fucking hillbillies instead, like, and taking the top out of the breast of the bun, thinking of Milky having a shit on the way.
I see you got some fright when you chase after him.
Yeah, that is hilarious.
It's surreal.
We need to come back now for one more story and we can close up the episode after this.
Yeah.
So, the Mallow Street Ballers.
Oh, good one. Good one. Definitely deserves a shout out for this one. So, like,
can't wait to hear this one.
And, the kids were down at the Planet and we were like bowling, you know, and Adam was with me. Actually met him down there and he was with his buddy, you know.
Adam's
son. I won't give out any names as to who he was with, but I will say one thing. Josh Lombardi. We said we'd keep this private and confidential.
Josh
Lombardi.
Lombardi.
Okay, so actually thinking Lombardi is his like AKA name. It's not, it's actually his real name.
Josh Lamborghini.
So like the lads fell in and they had a game of bowling with us, you know, and Josh actually got a strike and I was like, oh Josh, you're fucking pretty good at this. Did you play this before? He was like, no, just kind of here and there. He's like, we have a game next Tuesday night there. One of our guys is not able to make it. Would you be able to fall in? He was like, yeah, right. So I kind of looked at him. I got a good kind of reverse psychology thing.
Yeah. You love doing that, Mikey.
He's still one of my good assets. Like, can I kind of looked at him? Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
It's where I actually learned
this. Literally, I'm the
where
same.
I learned this technique today. Yeah. Like.
So I kind of looked at Josh. I said, you really make a big thing out of nothing.
No.
Like,
he's king of the lake.
Simple question I asked you. Yeah. You're like, you know, I was like, whatever, you know. So he kind of indirectly baffled, doesn't know where he's fucking coming or going. So I carried on bowling anyway, and I was after getting one or two strikes as well. So he kind of
leave it in mellow, like.
Yeah. So he kind of came back to me and he said, like, well, what were you saying when I go? I said, one of our guys is actually not able to play, like, you can come Tuesday night if you want to fall in. He goes, who are you playing with? I was like, the Mallow Street Bowlers. That's the name of our team. Like, I never knew you the fuck. I was like, yeah, right, we're actually second in the league. It's an important match coming up. You just got a fucking strike while I go. You can fall
why
in.
Why not, like?
Yeah. Like, yeah, all right, what time is it on? It was like Tuesday at 7 o'clock, but you have to wear a uniform. Black pants, white shorts, black stockings and black slip-ons, you know? So I said, be down at my house Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. I was like, yeah, cool, no problem. So this was on a Thursday. Completely forgot all about it. And I was up in bed watching a kind of movie on Netflix. So Adam runs into me. He was like, Dad, get the fuck up quick.
No way,
like,
no.
What's on? What's happening? What's going on? He was like, Josh is downstairs in the uniform.
Oh my God.
I was like, nah, no way. So we just like...
You probably forgot about it, did you?
Completely.
I know, Liz.
Just walked into the front room then with our kind of videos on and I went, Josh, are you actually serious? He looked at me and goes, please don't tell me this has happened. I was like, you're done like a kipper, mate.
Completely taken, cameras on and everything.
No such thing as Mallow Street Bowlers, obviously. No such thing as a temping bowling team. No such thing as a uniform. So, I always did tell you, Josh, that I was going to keep that story quiet, so...
It's out in the oven now.
I lied.
Oh, guys, again, I mean, Jake, just want to thank Mikey.
Thanks so much, Mikey.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
It's a pleasure to be on, like, you know, and as I said at the start of the podcast, great thing, guys, and, like, a lot of credit due to you guys. I mean, you know, anything that just creates a little bit of humour, a bit of positive message, you know,
especially in the boring times as well.
Why
like,
not? Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
Everything is dull and gloom with fucking COVID this and COVID that. You know, and
I know.
Just hopefully, like one of our goals is that, like, we're not going to mention COVID. We're not going to mention
Limbo. Yeah, I know, because there's too much going on about it.
We just want to give someone half an hour of listening to a couple of people talk and maybe take people's mind off things because it's hard for everyone. Like, obviously,
yeah.
It's lighthearted fun, like, and happy days. And you seem to have got great feedback off it as well.
I'm delighted with it.
And we enjoy it.
That's
the most important thing. Once you enjoy it as well.
Yeah.
I'm after having a ball. With that, plenty more fucking stories.
Oh, tucked away in the loads.
But we'll reserve those for another day.
Definitely.
So exactly. Yeah. So we're actually going to have a segment on this podcast specifically for Mikey, and that segment is called Storytime with Mikey.
Mikey.
Okay, that's what it's called. Because the story's locked in that man's head. Like,
everyone needs to hear.
He's actually hilarious. And thank you again.
Thanks again, Mike.
For coming on this podcast. We really appreciate it.
Not a bother, guys. Actually, a pleasure. I really appreciate it.
And it was fun.
It was fun. And with that, guys, it's lovely. Do you want some? It's lovely. I know, yeah.
We write it down.
Do you want some? It's lovely is out, signing off from Robert, Jake, and Mikey. Slong
a phone, more hair fuckers.
Bye. Shout out, guys. Happy days.